Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Yeah. It's a big holiday down here in San Diego.
Future Cinco de Mayo for us.
But. Yeah. Well, when you're listening to this, hopefully it is on May 5th. So happy Cinco de Mayo. Happy birthday, Mom, too. If she's listening.
Mine, too.
Oh, yeah?
Well, pretty close, yeah.
Okay. Well, you guys have the same mom, so yeah. It works out.
And you're both our daddies.
Yeah.
Sucks because it's right next to Mother's Day, so.
Oh, Mother's Day's come up?
Oh, yeah.
Shit.
And Dio.
Do you think she wants an old Radeon 7770? Because I've got one of those sitting around.
Just leave it under her pillow. Yeah.
You know what's funny is my parents are using Emilio's old computer. Which
I hope you clean that because that thing was.
Well, it's funny is they're using my old couch too from my old apartment, and I'm just like, oh god, they really shouldn't be using my hand me downs.
Yeah.
That couch. The other love seat, the couch is the one that we lovingly call the casting couch.
Ooh.
At my place.
Yeah,
dude, the black light would not have a good review of both your couch or my hard drive.
Yeah.
Psychedelic.
Yeah, my parents are living in filth and they don't even know it. Anyway, I'm Robert
Digital.
This
couch always reminds me of Bobby.
Yeah.
I don't know what it is, but...
Yeah. It's got a smell.
You know?
Anyway, introductions here. I'm Robert Digital, a.k.a. Bobby.
I'm Flopsy or Chad.
And there's Logic / Emilio.
Yeah, we got to do that once in a while so you know who's who around here. But most of you already know. So we're going to start things off with a little game like we often do. And this game, let me explain it to you guys, is we're going to go around to each of us and each person has to mention a currency from a game and name what game it's from. And then if you can't think of one in given amount of time, you're out and then we continue on.
Okay.
So once a currency is mentioned, say... Two games share one currency. Once that currency is mentioned, it's off the table for all games.
Okay.
Understand? Okay. All right, Chad, you want to start us off?
Sure. I will start with Plaid.
And what game is that from?
From EverQuest.
Plaid?
Plaid.
Platinum.
Like Platinum.
Oh, okay.
This was... They did the bronze, silver, gold, and you could up do your money. And their last one was
3-second limit here?
Okay.
That sound good?
Yeah.
WoW Gold.
Okay.
WoW Gold. All right. I am going to go with Space Bucks from Loadout.
He's going to whoop our ass.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm going credits from Star Wars The Old Republic.
Okay.
Pennies, Binding of Isaac.
Ooh.
Recently played game. I'm going to go with Dosh from Killing Floor 1 and 2.
Okay. I'm going to go with Pax from Secret World.
I'm going to go with Dollars with GTA series.
Okay.
Easy one.
I might be fucked here.
Nguyen from Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Talk about a loaded fucking game.
Yeah. Jesus. He looked at 37,000.
Come on, man. I'm about out of ideas here.
Okay. I got 3 seconds. I'm going to go with... I got nothing.
All
I
right,
lose.
Chad's out.
Coin, Super Mario Brothers.
Ah.
Favor, Smite.
Ooh. Three. You're done.
Damn it.
That was good.
Good game.
Yeah, that
was good. I was thinking
Did
about
you have
that.
Another one?
I was going to say RP from League of Legends, but I couldn't remember what the R stands for. It's the name of the company.
Gems.
Riot Points.
Smite.
It's Riot Points.
Riot Points.
Okay, yeah. Then Smite. Yeah. There's so many.
Yeah, there's a lot of them out there. And I was thinking about that because when I started playing Killing Floor 2 again, I was like, Dosh, that's such a weird name for currency. And then I started thinking about how games always come up with their own type of currency and how they come up with fun names like Space Bucks from Loadout was one of my favorite.
Well, it kind of had like a campy, fun feel to it. Mm-hmm. So I think the Space Bucks
was perfect.
Was perfect for
Yeah, totally. Yeah, but there's a lot of them out there. If you got any ideas, listeners, post it in the forum.
Yep.
I wonder if it's like hovering in obscurity or how they're really doing. you know.
I think people that are passionate about it, like every game, passionate, they have their passionate fan base.
I don't know, man. I looked it up on that steamstats.com. to see how many concurrent players.
I was about to say we should look that up, but no. Bobby knowing all things.
Well, I can't remember what it was actually, but it was about as low as you'd expect it to be. That came out, and we were talking about it a lot.
Was it above or below Evolve? Evolve,
yeah. I was going to say 2K.
That's the real question, but let's find out.
Oh, so sad. We were so excited for that game, too.
Yeah. Steam charts.
Somebody make it $10. I'll buy it. $10. Yes. Put it out there.
I messed up. The website is Steam Charts.
Load out, not load chart.
Yeah. I type whatever I say.
You're so drunk.
Okay. Concurrent players. Oh, no. This is what we want. It lists all the DLC. All right. 344.
Ooh, oh, jeez.
Ouch.
The all-time peak was 30,000, but the most recent 24-hour peak was 700.
I want to say that, I don't know how much time they spent on development, but 30,000, you want to say that some nice percentage, at least 10 to 15% spent money on the game. I want to say that
they probably made their money back.
Oh, yeah.
Plus it came out on Xbox, so who knows how much they made on that.
Yeah, and they probably made some sales there.
Yeah.
Well, the only thing that sucks about that is 344 last 24 hours. It's an online-only game.
Yeah.
So that means 344 people are playing.
And you're playing with almost
I think it's like five on a team or four on a team,
Check Secret World. I'm kind of curious. Cause
all right, yeah, I'll bring that up.
I bet it's a lot higher.
You know what, though? We all loved, years ago, Emilio and I were playing a lot of Super Monday Night Combat, and that was always around 700 when the community started dying. So I always think 700 players is like...
And you guys always struggled sometimes.
It was really hard. But at 700 below, I always felt like, okay, the community's dead. The game's useless.
Is my idea of that game better than the actual game, Bob? If I went back and played it and the servers were populated, would I be disappointed? No, right?
I did go back and play it, and I got into a game. And, of course, there were levers immediately.
Which affected your
first one
experience.
But I think I think the game would not be the same. We wouldn't like it nearly as much. We'd kind of see some more fault in it if we went back, even if there were players.
This is what, for me, I call it the EverQuest effect, because I base every MMO on EverQuest because it was the first one that hooked me. And the first MOBA that you guys both got hooked on was Super Monday Night Combat.
Right.
So you guys have a nostalgia, and you think that is the default standard, and everything is compared to that.
Well, I don't know if
I would consider Smite more along more.
Well, maybe it's surpassed it at this point, and likewise, WoW has surpassed EverQuest, but it took a long time for WoW to surpass EverQuest, and I used to compare, you know, WoW to EverQuest and see the faults that it had there.
I wish we could see the numbers of EverQuest right now. I bet it would crush these right here. Original EverQuest,
the
I bet still has a million players.
Yeah. A million?
Yeah.
Wow. No way.
That's a lot.
Something crazy. Like a good amount.
Yeah. No.
People that they tried two and didn't like it and just went back to one.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them. I mean, they still have EverQuest Con or whatever the fuck that's called.
Yeah.
There's a lot of loyalty to that
game. A million is a lot, though.
Unfortunately, steamcharts.com only goes back to, I think, 2011. And it's only Steam games, too, as well.
You know what's funny is I completely forgot. I haven't forgotten, but off the radar, EverQuest Next. I feel like they were putting content out in every month. Like, this is what we're doing. And now they've kind of gone silent. Or maybe I stopped looking. I don't know which one. But
for which game?
EverQuest Next.
Oh, Next. Gotcha.
Yeah. You know, it was my most anticipated game maybe this year. And either they've gone silent or I stopped listening. I forgot. I don't know which. But I'm pretty in tune with the whole gaming world. But
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard a lot either.
Hopefully this is not a sign of bad things. Maybe it's a sign of like we're about to come out. Let's make it a big deal. But who knows?
Hmm.
The last video that I did see months ago was very, very cool looking. I mean...
That's an SOE title.
Yeah.
SOE got bought out, and now it's got a whole new title. So they might have a restructuring, they might have a refocus.
Wait, the company has a new title, or the game has a new title?
It's not SOE anymore.
Oh, right.
It's, what, do you remember what it's called, Bobby?
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a whole new company, so there might be a whole new direction.
I hope those dudes are getting paid still. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
So much money went into it. There's no... You'd be the stupidest person ever to buy that company and not continue that.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of the flagships, so it's probably one of the reasons why they bought that
company. Yeah, but I could totally see them getting rid of certain dudes or something like that.
Yeah. So maybe that's why the radio silence.
Yep.
All right. So we have something to announce, right?
Yeah.
What's that? Oh, yeah. Sure. So we're going to do another $20 giveaway. And guess the way we're going to do it.
Through
our reviews.
Through our reviews.
Review giveaway.
Seriously, guys, I mean, if your chances right now are like 1 in 30. So if you haven't done it by now, I know iTunes is kind of dog shit. Nobody really uses it. But think of it, I guess, as your app for us only. Just do it for one thing and it'd be us. The only reason we're trying to promote this and the only reason we put money into promoting iTunes is... This is the number one way to promote your podcast is through iTunes. It's still the premier place to sell your podcast, even though you're not selling it. Promote it, I would say. And so a couple times we flirted with the top, you know, the front page of PC gaming, but now we've dipped down again. So we really need a push. Tell your friends, whatever. Hey, you have a pretty good chance of winning. I know $20 isn't much. But $20 every 2 weeks? I mean, that's pretty cool.
And do it once and you're in there forever. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And one stipulation, if you put a review in, include your Steam name so we can find you afterwards.
Yeah. And we'll probably do this next week. Yeah. We'll announce the winner. We'll just do it live on there.
Yep.
Cool. All right.
Do we want to talk about last week's episode real quick?
Yeah.
First of all, before Emilio gets into it, if you haven't listened to the interview with Chris from Red Hook, you've got to. It's at the end of our podcast last week. If you're interested in Darkest Dungeon at all, super smart guy.
Or game development.
Yeah. It was a great conversation, and I was really impressed with him. And so if you haven't listened, please do.
Yeah.
But anyways.
I was in a drunken state.
Not just inebriated.
Drunk. Yeah, way too drunk, actually.
I thought you did fine.
I think you didn't listen to the whole podcast.
Maybe I was inebriated.
No, there were times right now, man. Yeah, somehow you pull it together and don't slur, man. You did a really good job. Like the other...
Because I'm a professional. I do this for a living.
So anyway, I apologize for last week, but I'll just leave it at that.
I don't think you need to apologize. I think it went well.
It's all right. Well, I apologized to Chris in an email a little bit. I said, hey, that was unprofessional of me. I haven't got an email back, so but he did promote the podcast on Twitter, so that's cool.
Awesome.
Yeah. And that's
do you have his Twitter handle if they want to follow him?
I've quit drinking and I put myself in rehab. Cheers.
Okay.
I actually linked his Twitter account in the episode last week. Perfect. So if you go back and check the notes from last week, along with, you know, our usual website, Twitter and all that, you can get his Twitter account on there as well.
That's another thing. Like at the end of it, you know, I wasn't thinking right. We should have anything you need to plug, you know, obviously. Yeah. But he has all the support. If he listens to this, just reach out and we will reach out to all our listeners.
Cool.
So
last week we didn't have a whole lot of time to talk about everything we wanted to talk about. And one of those things was definitely what was happening in the Steam modding community. That whole fiasco.
I'm glad we gave it another week, though, because it's resolved. It wasn't resolved last week.
Yeah. Somebody give me the 2-minute spiel in case our listeners haven't heard, and then we can talk about our thoughts on it.
Okay. Here we go. The way that I understand it. It is very convoluted. I'm going to try to give you a synopsis. So Steam said they're doing a really good job of having people that create things for their games.
It's called Steam. The Steam Workshop, right?
The Steam Workshop, yeah. They have a long history because now there's a couple ways that the creative community can make money. The Workshop, they made something like millions of dollars collectively, making hats for TF2, guns for CSGO, and so it's sharing money with the community, and it's all cyclical, right? And so, you know, there might be some guys out there that are really good at programming, not good at gaming. They're going to buy the game just so that they can mod the game so that they can make money, right?
Yeah.
So there's it's all over the place.
You can't make money with modding, right? Or you couldn't before, right? You
could only make. I was still talking about
previously
making models for games like a gun or a hat.
Sorry. Yeah, not mods, not actual mods, right. items and stuff.
Mods have always been free, and the backbone, maybe. Of PC gaming. Maybe the hardware is back mod, but this is definitely one of the strong appendages for sure. One of the biggest things that PC games have is modding that above consoles. So there's thousands of mods out there. Some people don't even mod, which I find crazy. And it's a very big part of PC gaming, thus the workshop where you can easily mod your game without any difficulties at all. So there's maybe a million mods out there as far as all games out there.
Yeah.
So, so Steam said, you know, let's take care of the people that create this because they're not getting any of this, anything out of this. Maybe if you make an extremely good mod that took you years and a lot of effort, you might, show up on somebody's radar and they might hire you. Mm-hmm. That's the dream of a modder, these days.
Like an Ice Frog, who did, Defenders of the Ancients.
Ah, and then whoever did the Dota, I'm sure there's
that
some...
would be Defenders of the Ancients.
Is that what Dota means?
Yeah.
Oh, I had no idea until right now. Okay, or like DayZ.
Yeah.
Or like...
Counter-Strike.
Counter-Strike. Or Killing Floor, even brought up earlier. Those were all mods that became money-making machines because the mod was greater, if not just a separate entity. So anyway... Steam wanted to have a way for them to get rewarded, right? So they said, we're going to start charging for mods. Now, everything got way... There was a tidal wave of bad press. Basically, people overreacted because the number one game modded right now is Skyrim.
Yeah.
Probably will be until GTA takes it over in a little while. So the Skyrim modding community said, are you guys fucking crazy? They sent death threats and all this stuff to the Bethesda people.
You couldn't just keep your mod free?
So I'll get into that.
Oh.
So
this is longer than our 2-minute spiel.
Yeah, sorry. It's a convoluted thing. Am I making sense so far?
Yeah, so far.
So when you make a mod, you have your choice to put it on the market or not. Mm-hmm. So whether it be retroactive, I don't know.
Gotcha.
I couldn't find anything on that. The big thing that came out was Steam's making 75%.
Oh.
And that's what...
70% is what they...
Sure. Or no, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
Some ridiculous amount.
Yeah. But it's irrelevant because of this. It's not irrelevant because of the backlash. Like, holy shit, 70% for Steam.
Oh, no, you're right. 75%.
Okay. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because it's set by the developer. They choose.
Oh, not the modder.
Not the modder.
The developer.
The developer sets how it's going to get split up.
Well, so, Steam takes 30%, and they take 30% of everything. Any game that's sold on Steam, they take 30%. Valve takes 30% of. And that's pretty standard. That's what Apple does in their store as well. So that left 70% left, and then it was up to the publisher how much of a cut they wanted to take, and then how much would be left for the person actually creating the content. And so in this case, Bethesda decided 45% for us and 25% for the developer. So
the other thing that I heard that got people upset is either Valve or Bethesda, I'm not sure which one, but basically they came out with a statement that said the option is not on the modder. The modder can set it for free, but we can make the decision to make it a paid one also. So basically, it was taking the option away for the modders to make the decision on whether or not they wanted to charge this for this mod. And that was the other thing that raised eyebrows and issues.
Right. So,
this was all 2 weeks ago or a week ago or so?
Well, just really, they shut the whole thing down pretty soon. And what their statement, Steam statement was, it's very clear that we didn't understand what we were doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, when you step on the modding community of Skyrim, which is a thing of, beauty because all these people are sharing intellectual property for free.
Yeah.
I mean, people are putting in hundreds and thousands of hours just so somebody can enjoy it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. And thousands of people are doing this.
It's not just Skyrim. I mean, granted, Skyrim's the greatest, the largest amount of the money.
Well, it's also the reason that they shut it down. The Skyrim community was so vocal.
Yeah.
And aggressive, really.
But do we all agree that this is theoretically a good thing?
No, I completely, when I first heard it, I said, wow, this is amazing. I really like this because, I mean, in concept, and it's not canceled forever. This is just reworking. We went about this the wrong way. That's what Steam is saying.
Mm-hmm.
When it breaks down to it, when you break it down, basically, modders should be getting paid for quality content if they want to be. Two, the devs should be getting a couple dollars, even though they are, because you need to buy the game in order to sell the mods. Whatever it is, it's money they wouldn't have been getting anyway.
Yeah.
And then Steam for facilitating the sales. You can't sell lemonade without a lemonade stand, and that's what Steam does, right? So
everybody, but the percentages were way off.
Well, I don't know why it's set by the dev. Maybe it should be set by Steam at a different rate. But,
or it should be standardized. You know, 15% to Steam, 15% to the developers, 70%.
By whom, though?
70% for the rest.
Who sets this? That's the thing.
Sets what?
The parameters. Steam, I guess?
Yeah. I think it should just be standardized. If Steam standardizes 30% is their cut, why can't they standardize the mod cut as well? And Steam is also double dipping. You know, they get their 30% off the top when you get the game, and then they're taking another 30% when for each mod that they get. That's
presuming you bought it on Steam, but most likely you did.
Yeah.
But really, I think the publisher's getting the best deal out of all of this.
And one more thing that they had said, that, you know, there's a big, I don't, if you're into Skyrim modding, there's the Skyrim modding workshop online.
Nexus, right?
The Nexus, thank you. And they're in charge of like modding mm-hmm. for a bunch of games outside of Steam. And for some reason, that ad ends with the Steam Workshop, like starkly opposed. Like,
because it cuts them out of it. You don't have to go to the Nexus anymore to get mods.
Yeah, but I mean, if it's all about sharing. But anyway, who knows what their real intentions are. But it gets to the point where if you post your mod on both, they'll cut you out.
Hmm.
Like you're not even allowed on the Nexus. If that's happened many times. So somebody said something about exclusivity on Steam. Like if you have it on Workshop, you can't have it anywhere else, your mod.
Hmm.
And I guess, I don't know who brought that up, but Gabe's putting an end to that as well. He says exclusivity is bad for everybody, and it's a dumb idea.
Yeah.
So the Gabe is God.
Gaben, he was getting torn down a lot on the internet recently, but...
Which is funny, because it's not even Valve's fault. I mean, people were, they're making mods kind of, you know, the Gabe troll mod or something where he's got dollar signs in his eyes, you know, and everyone was pointing their finger at him, but it's really not even Valve's fault. Valve is just saying, hey, we take our 30% like we do with everything. And then
I know, but it's up them to set what is the process.
Well, I don't know. Who knows if they have that control?
Obviously, really. they didn't. If Bethesda's taken another 45% on top of that, like,
well, it's
if Valve had said, no, you're taking 15%, we're taking 30%, you're taking 15%, and the rest goes to the modder, then people wouldn't have as much of an issue with this.
Yeah,
I don't even know if that's like the real issue here, though. Is like who gets what percentage? I mean, I think people saw Steam is now charging for mods, and we've all known that mods were free before this. So people, you know, you charge for something that was initially free, people are going to react negatively.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if this would have worked a lot better if they would have chose any other game than Skyrim. Not just that, but a new game. Like a new game comes out and says, hey, we've got this whole new modding infrastructure that we'd like to try out on this game. If you present the game with that, then I think people will be a lot more accepting of it.
That's what they said about how they went about this wrong. Maybe we should have set this model out with a new Valve game and just try it out on there, like a microcosm, and then take it to the macro afterwards.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think gut reactions kind of took this the wrong way. Also, it was a little presumptuous on Steam's side. And so, ultimately, it's a good thing, just misconstrued and wrong direction. But eventually, this is the way things should work.
And we say a good thing because...
We want the modders taken care of.
Well, it's not just that, because I want people with skill and ability to go in and do the modding, and I want them to be rewarded for doing it. Like, there's mods on Skyrim that are longer than the original game itself, and those people are giving those out for free. Like,
yeah,
thousands of hours that this person's put in.
There's a guy called TrainWiz, and he's obsessed with trains, and he's done, like, 20 train mods, but they're, like, legit, like... subway stations in every town, and you can go downstairs and take a subway to another one. But not just that, there's a quest with the subways if you want to do it, which is like 20 hours long. Like, this is this guy's life. This is what he does for a living, and he's not making any money, well, that I know of, except for his name out on the. But shout out to TrainWiz, making great shit.
Yeah.
And the publishers and the developers really benefit from that, because people are still buying copies of that game because it has such an extended life due to mods.
Yeah. And the other, we want some dialogue with you guys. So we're going to post something up on the forums on our Steam group.
We'd like to know, he means me.
We'd like to know what... Yes, because it's probably not going to be me.
I know, but it feels like to be Bobby.
Yeah. We want to know what you guys think about this whole modding thing. We're going to post something up. Let us know what you guys think.
Honestly, though, I would say that the majority of PC gamers don't mod. I would say that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, there's quite a few games that still don't have...
Bobby, you don't even mod. And you're like the tech...
Well, I mean, master. I have. It depends on the game. I mean, my first mods were way back in the day when I played my favorite game of all time, which I rebought this week on GOG.com, Jedi
Barbie
Knight.
Dreamhouse 2?
Yeah.
Still waiting for that
blue one. Dress mod download.
But, that's bot.
It's sitting right there in the mod store. It doesn't even know it's bot. It's yeah, bot. It's bot. So bot.
It's so bot.
Oh boy.
Wow. Okay. What are we talking about now?
Well, let's talk about what we've been playing. Let's talk about some games and not some mods.
I got a ton of stuff this week, so let's split mine up a little bit.
You start then. That's okay. The best way to split yours.
Let's start off with Broken Age Part 2. So, Bobby, did you even know this came out?
No, well, I found out actually yesterday. I was listening to another podcast, and someone was like, oh, yeah, so I played the second part of Broken Age 2. I was like, what?
Yeah.
When did this happen?
What?
Because yeah. I had forgotten about it, really. I mean, they were supposed to have the second part out a year ago, like last April.
Yeah.
Are you saying that there's a more informative mod? Or, I mean, podcast than...
No, because I knew about this.
Oh, okay.
So one-third of this podcast knew what was going on. Anyways... So, Broken Age Part 2, we had our Part 1 review like a year ago, more than a year ago probably. We've been waiting. Bobby has been more into this. This is a point-and-click adventure.
Bobby was the most upset that you know, the second episode
never
didn't come out, right?
Yeah.
And you guys both paid up front for both parts, correct?
Yeah. When you bought Broken Age, you got the...
Yeah.
Right.
They didn't say back then that it was going to only be two parts. They just said you got all the episodes.
I think they did say.
I think they did.
I was under the assumption that it was two parts.
Okay.
And the first one,
go ahead.
The first one ended on such a great cliffhanger too, like such a great moment that I was just ready for that next part right away.
Chad, do you remember the cliffhanger?
Yes, I do.
Oh, okay, cool.
Okay, because I
no spoilers.
No spoilers, but I played through all of Broken Age 2. I beat it. This episode I liked better than the first episode, from what I remember, because that was like 13 years ago.
Do you think they took the constructive criticism from the, you know, people saying it was too easy and stuff?
Yes. So this episode, more than last episode, you want to be playing them. So you play as two different characters. You play as the guy, Shay, or the girl, Vella. And they've got completely separate stories that are intertwined together. But in this episode, more than the last episode, you want to be playing them both back and forth. Like, I felt like the last episode, you could play through one, and then you played through the other.
I thought that's how it was.
No, this episode, you'll get to a point, and you won't know the answer. and you can hunt and look, and you just won't know it.
If something happens in the other world?
Well, here's an example that I will try not to spoil.
Nah, go ahead.
It's but one, I'll spoil, it's one puzzle. I'll spoil a little bit. Sorry, Bobby.
I give you permission. I'm the great spoiler king.
So Shay, who is now in Vela's world, so at the, you know, they've kind of switched worlds. Vela's now in Shay's world.
Okay, now you went too far. That,
so they've switched worlds. So Shay has this robot that he's trying to fix, and he has this cue that he says, I wish I was on my ship because I would know how to fix this.
And she's on the ship.
She's on the ship. So if you go to her, you can hunt around the ship, and you don't even realize it, but you could figure out what to do to help the robot out. So if you're not playing them both simultaneously, you're just lost. There's no answer on Shay's side to get the answer for this. You have to go to Vela's side to figure this out.
I never played either part of it, but I'm guessing that they're soulmates, and so they're kind of linked.
No, they the only time they meet each other actually is at the
very end
of part one.
Oh.
And then, you know, part two expands on this, obviously. But the puzzles are hard. I ended up having to, because I wanted to get through this before. I looked up a couple things. The snake, fuck the snake right now in his fucking asshole.
I don't think snakes have assholes.
Yeah, and yeah. And Bobby will probably...
What, how do you think they shit?
I was kidding, first of all. But Bob was so... He's like, man, I've cleaned up some of the snake shit.
Yeah.
I know that they shit.
Oh, yeah, you do have... You did.
They had a snake for a while. They have nasty, smelly, reptilian fucking dinosaur shit. It's disgusting.
Wow.
It comes out in fossils.
Dinosaur shit. You want to add that to our list? So, I like this episode better. If you played Broken Age 2, you've already got the second part, so there's no reason not to play it.
And especially if it's better, according to the Chad.
But my only advice would be, if you're stuck, switch over characters, start playing with the other one, see what you can figure out. Like I said, I like two or three times I had to go to the internet to figure it out because I wanted to have it done before the end by this podcast.
I did have one good point last week in my drunken haze was that one of the hardest things to develop must be puzzles.
Because
you don't want to go too hard or too soft, and you're dealing with different intelligence levels, different attention levels, all this kind of stuff.
I got more about puzzles later on in this podcast because I got another,
teaser. Come back right after these messages.
What else can I say about Broken Age? No, if you liked one, then you'll like two probably even more. And this one probably took me 5 or 6 hours probably to get through the second episode, which is about the same as the first episode, if I remember correctly.
I think that's longer than the first, actually. The first one was very short.
Bob did it in 15 minutes.
The puzzles...
And was laughing, cackling the whole time.
Yeah. Well, the puzzles...
Fuck the idiots.
The puzzles might be a little bit harder in this one.
When are you going to get around to this, Bob?
This one felt...
No hurry now.
This one felt more finished than the first episode.
Cool. That's a good...
Yeah. So, okay.
And it's funny because you can't give it the recommendation because they already own it, most likely, if they already own the first part.
And at this point, Broken Age 1 and 2, how much, do we have any idea how much Broken Age
is? It was on sale. $24.99 is the retail, but it was on sale. It might be by the time this goes up. Humble Bundle, or maybe, no, I think it was Humble Bundle had a sale. It was going for $17.99.
Yeah. And summer sale is coming up in usually July. Is that right? Bob?
I think end of June.
End of June? Cool.
So, this is only for point-and-clickers. If you don't like a point-and-click adventure, please don't pick this game up, because this is straight point-and-click adventure. So, what else we got?
Bob?
I've just been playing more Killing Floor, too, in a little time this week that I've had to play.
Yeah.
I mentioned it before, and I'll say it again, but there's such a difference when you play one game, or when you play a game the first week compared to the second or even third week, there's such a different layer of understanding to that game.
I got more about that coming up too. So
I only said boring because I'm kind of jelly that you're playing it without me. And I think it would be a cool game for us to play together.
It would maybe be a listener, because what you can, how big is the groups?
Six people.
So that'd be all our listeners.
All three of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Three of us, three of you guys.
And it is so much more fun with other people, too. But I've just been playing a lot more of it and understanding the mechanics of the game a little bit more.
What's your favorite class? Oh, you usually do a healer, right?
The medic, but I've also been playing the commando.
Are you playing with the Nicknicks?
No, I've noticed they've been playing a lot, though.
Yeah.
But I'll have to... I think I invited them a few times to a game, but I don't know.
Yeah.
They could have been preoccupied.
Everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoy that. I played all the classes except the Berserker, which is the melee, who also tries to parry. I don't know. That's never like my favorite class, but I'll try that out eventually. And it's not getting old, and it's really because I'm just choosing the appropriate difficulty level and just challenging myself. And I'm really trying to get some of these maps done on hard.
How many difficulty levels are there?
Four. It starts at normal. There's no easy mode. It goes from normal to hard to suicidal to hell on earth.
Okay.
And I really like how they did the achievements on this game. There's 12 achievements, I think, one for each map and one for each mode. So Paris on hard, Paris on suicidal, Paris on normal. So it's really just having that badge to say, like, yeah, I did this on that level. It's
way
really
better
nice.
Than fucking doing achievement for shits that you were going to do anyway.
Yeah.
Like Super Mario, grab the mushroom.
1,000 like, headshots or yeah, something like so that. Dumb. Yeah, where you just eventually get it. So I like how they've done that because you can go on Steam, or maybe this is a feature of Enhanced Steam, which I use on Chrome, where it shows me how many people have achieved this mod, or achieved this, I got mods on the brain, achieved this achievement.
Right.
It's kind of redundant.
Earn this achievement.
Earn this achievement.
Speaking of achievements, Smite introduced them.
Yep.
And the first time that we played after they introduced them, fucking Chad went apeshit on a round. And he's like, oh, I unlocked this and this and this and this and this and this. I wasn't playing at the time. I was like, you fucking jerk.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, they don't mean anything to anybody, really. Yeah. But they did at that point. He's holding all these tokens.
My e-cock slapped. In the face.
Yeah, pretty much. Sorry.
I'm kind of against achievements altogether, but I like it when they do it this way and just say, if you beat this level on this difficulty, you know, that's not something everyone can do. So you get this little proof of completion that you did this. So I like that.
It would be sweet if you got some sort of medal on your chest.
My favorite. For
that. That'd be kind of cool, right? Since there's so little achievements, it'd be cool to have something like that.
My favorite use of achievements is turning it into something. Like achievements equals XP or equals character bonuses. You know, like I like...
It's been a while since we talked about achievements, but here's my problem with them is they cause you to play most games in a unnatural way. Right. If it says
Wolfenstein with this guy.
Yeah, exactly. Wolfenstein. I talked a lot about that. But if there's an achievement for 1,000 headshots, then all you try to do is go for headshots. As opposed to, like in Killing Floor 2, headshots do a lot more damage and usually one shot, one kill, and it also can extend the life of Zed time. So that's your motivation for getting headshots, not just because some stupid achievement says you got to get 1,000 of them.
Yeah, but I think you and I play differently, and I'm not sure if I'm the unique one or if you are the unique one. I don't even look at achievements when I play. And when they pop up, that's just like a bonus for me. I don't go into my achievements and say, oh, I got to do a headshot, so now I'm doing headshots. I just play, and whatever pops up, pops up. I think you do it differently, Bobby. And I think you might be the unique extent. One.
There are people who label themselves achievement hunters. And whores. They put it on their
achievement
Steam.
Achievement whores, that's what they're called.
They put it on their Steam profile, and that's all they do is try to get these badges. But I'm not that far. But at the same time, I do try to get as many as possible.
Hey, baby, want to have a good time? Only 3 achievements. That's what that would sound like.
Yeah. It's my turn again because I got a lot. So,
Bob, are you done?
Yeah, that's pretty much all I got on Killing Floor 2. I will continue to play that. That's really all I'm going to be playing maybe.
How much is this? What's the G2A cost?
$29.99. I saw it on G2A.com for $25. Dollars.
It's still too much.
Yeah, I got it off of Steam Trades off some Slovenian for $23 American.
Slovenian is the only actual nationality that sounds like its own derogatory term. You know what I'm saying? Fucking Slovenians. It just sounds like you're being mean to them.
I think you could do that for any language.
Why? If you say it in the wrong tone?
Yeah.
Goddamn Mexicans. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
Anyway,
but
so
Slovenians
that's
more than anybody else.
Yeah. All right, so I'm up again because I got a lot of stuff. So I picked up Magisite. So they had a...
Sounds terrible.
They had a rogue...
roguelike sale.
Roguelike sale last week. Or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, about 2 weeks ago.
And
it was sad how many I already owned. Yeah. I owned about 70% of those games already.
and there was a bunch, right?
Yeah, and people think that I'm like this big... The thing about roguelikes is you only need one or two or three, and then you're done. Like, it's different than other genres. It's not like RPG where I play all the RPGs that comes out. A roguelike sucks you in and keeps you in its little fucking lair forever. And
well, that's
just as Isaac.
That I think Binding of Isaac is a unique one.
It is the quintessential, in my eyes.
Anyways, so there was a rogue sale, so I looked it up. One of them was actually on my wish list, so I picked it up. It was Magisite. So Magisite is like a 2D side scroller, not 8-bit, but not like pristine graphics. Right. But the thing about it is you're doing gathering and crafting while you're going through this. So it doesn't have a ton of enemies. So you start off with like this wooden axe and as you're going through this 2D side scroller sort of thing, you can chop down trees and start getting
wood.
Yeah, different wood materials. And then you can craft an axe, and then you can use that axe to start, I mean, not a pickaxe, and start using that to do stuff.
So but while Terraria you're going, so far.
But it's not like Terraria, where Terraria, you can do every single thing and you can drill down and you can go up. This is a side scroller, meaning it's got platforms, you jump on it, there's only certain things you can do. And then you can unlock different classes.
It's a side scroller first, would you say?
Side scroller first. Okay. Meaning I played on a mouse and keyboard and the whole time I was wishing I was on a controller.
Okay.
Because it literally is a side scroller first. So I played this for a couple hours and you know, I was having fun. I enjoyed the game. I didn't feel disappointed at all.
But, what did you pay?
I forget what I paid.
Oh, whatever, it was on sale. It was like $3 or $4, right?
$3 or $4, yeah. Once you pass the level, you go into like a town and then you can do some purchases and stuff. And then you go into the next level. I'm getting stomped. The highest level character has like 8 hit points and guys are doing like 2 hit points to you at a go.
Right.
And it's really hard for you to get hit points back.
Is it in true roguelike fashion where you save something from the previous run? Okay. So it's a hardcore.
This is,
Yeah.
I haven't figured out any way to save anything.
Okay.
But anyways, I did like 15, 16 runs. I unlocked another character, which was called a Dwelf, which is kind of like a dwarf elf. So I unlocked this other character, and I unlocked a headpiece that you could use. So I didn't get very far, and I'm still on wood items. I haven't even gotten to stone items yet.
Right.
And I'm figuring this out. With this one run, I just hit a treasure chest. I've never seen a treasure chest before. I'm like, what the fuck is this? So I hit it. This sword pops out. I'm like, what the fuck? So I picked it up. It's called like Zeitgeist or whatever.
Which, by the way, means, just for everybody that uses Zeitgeist in like everyday vernacular, in German it means time ghost. So when people say like...
The literal translation. Right, it means spirit of the time.
Whoa.
That's what Zeitgeist is.
I like it when you say it that way.
I got slightly aroused right now.
Yeah, that was cool.
I have a question about the title of this game, though. Is there any relation to Magisite in Final Fantasy III?
I never played Final Fantasy III, so I have no clue. But you can use magic.
That's a material.
You can. Right?
It's the crystallized form of the Espers. They give you your superpowers.
He's smiling. Oh. You can tell when he's about to do something nerdy because he has a smirk on his face.
Well, actually, I needed some glasses that I could push up when I'm about to get
real. I'm not sure. Are those Espers of the time or are they Espers of the past age? Okay, we're getting... Woo! We just got some nerdums right now. We got buried in nerd shit. All right, go ahead.
Anyways, my wood axe is hitting these like fucking spiders for 6, right?
Yeah.
So I pick up this Zeitgeist and I'm like, wow, what is this thing? It's got like a curved blade. It's like, it clearly has like something going on.
Yeah.
I swing this thing. It takes like 15 seconds before it hits. when I hit an enemy, it does 46 damage.
Holy
I went from 6 to 46
by
picking up this random fucking thing. And then I happened to give this thing fire damage just by fucking completely clicking random shit. Suddenly, this thing is shooting fire out of the air every time it hits.
Yeah.
Like, shit's blowing up, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And then I died, of course, because I only had 4 hit points. And then I'm back to my old shit again. So, like, it teased me. Like, this is what could happen if you're actually good at this game.
Welcome to roguelikes, buddy.
Yeah. So, I mean,
sometimes you have those epic runs.
I'm curious. We're on family share. Next time I'm not around.
Yeah, sounds kind of cool.
Pick this up, and I'm curious to know what, because you are the roguelike expert, and I'm curious to know what you think of this.
It kind of reminds me of Golden Axe on the Sega Genesis. There was if you got the Golden Axe, which I think you have to put 5 things together.
Yeah.
If you hit anything with that fucking thing, it would put any adolescent Japanese kid right into epileptic seizure. It was like, and this was every single mob, and the screen would flash and everything would freeze. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah,
and after, I'm not kidding, like, you think I'm making a racial joke or whatever, that's when the whole thing of warning kids about epilepsy after that game, that was the one that was the trigger for epilepsy. The Golden Axe. Yeah. And they talk about that in science journals. It's like, when did epilepsy actually make it?
We still have to put shit on the fucking video games. Still have to put epilepsy warnings on.
Yeah, to this I know. Day. Because of Golden Axe. Most things, they trace back to some sort of genetic. Well, back in 1942, somebody had a genetic. No, this one, Golden Axe. Sega Genesis. Yeah. Okay, Professor.
Do you know that they actually have programs that will, you can spit your video game into, and it will track the epilepsy concern as you play the game. So, like, you can see how epileptic your game is.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a game called Epileptic Fervor and just try to break that machine.
Yeah. You can.
It's basically easily. Just a strobe.
It'll just be a strobe line.
Yeah, it's just a strobe line, basically.
Yeah. All right. So your job this next week is to play Magicite.
Oh, I was going to create Epileptic Seizure.
We can do that with his visual novel.
Oh, this call is back! True. Boom! That part's that coming along there, Bob?
Well, first of all, that part got cut out of last week's episode, so no one knows what you're talking about.
That was the only good part.
Yeah. Amelia was not a good slurring part. While Bobby's trying to explain his visual novel.
He was talking about, and I was like, what about the titties? It doesn't sound like he has enough titties. Something like that.
Yeah. There was definitely titties mentioned.
Yeah.
All right. So that was Magicite. You're up with GTA 5.
So still playing. That's the only game I've played this week. And it's
naturally
been a small, I'm both addicted and also I only have time for one game, maybe, these days. I'm progressing through the story mode. More than anything, I am in love with two things. The interplay between the three characters that you control. I think it's very nuanced and unique. You don't know. Every once in a while, it asks you to pick a favorite, and you don't know. I don't know who to pick. Trevor is a very interesting character, unlike anything that I've seen in other stories. He's a force of nature, which you could love the rain or you could hate the storms. When he first came in, I thought he was. And I just made that up on the spot. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Segue. So, you know, he's, at first I was like, this guy's crazy. I hate him. Then second, I was like, whoa, okay. I can understand where he's coming from. And then he did some shit that I'm like, wow, I definitely don't like this guy. So he's all over the place, but he is who he is. Franklin is the black guy, and he actually takes the more passive role out of the other ones. And the other one seems to be confused.
Franklin seems like the guy with the most actual morals.
Yeah, probably. Off the little bit that you've watched, right? But the interplay between these characters are really cool. And the other thing is, much like Dying Light, there's a lot of just traveling. Go to here on the map. Go to there on the map. Go over here. Like, you're traveling so much. But they've created such a rich world, just like Dying Light, where you don't mind at all. Like, I don't care. Oh, shit, that shit's on the other side of the town. Fuck, no. It's like, you're not like, oh, yeah, I get to drive across town. But you know some shit, because there's no force feedback, callback. On you have to go top speed all the time, right? Or kind of pull off, but there's only 100% or 0%. Or you could tap it every once in a while, but you're having fun the whole way there.
So and you're not following the rules of the road, is what you're saying?
No, never. You never get stopped for traffic accidents unless you hit people, a lot of people. Or if they're, well, actually what happens is you're only in trouble if you break the law in front of a cop, basically. Gotcha. And then they, but yeah, it's great.
By the way,
and this is going to cut into the news. GTA has now surpassed Half-Life 2 on Metacritic as the greatest PC game of all time. And so
Half-Life 2 really was the top.
Yeah.
By the way, Emilio cannot drive a helicopter, so if we are in a zombie apocalypse, I am taking the helm for any helicopter-related endeavors that we're doing. Yeah,
just like Bill Burr said, it's the ultimate "fuck you, I'm getting out of town" vehicle. Oh shit, shit's getting crazy.
I'm watching Emilio do this helicopter mission, and he's flying around, and I'm like, no, the armored vehicles that you're supposed to be watching are down there. No, turn left. They're right there. And all of a sudden, his pilot Trevor just jumps out of the plane, and he's like,
I hit the wrong button.
He's like, oh shit. So Trevor, he literally right above the skyline in LA, he jumps out of the plane. So he pulls the fucking parachute and this rainbow fucking parachute pops out, which is apropos, but why rainbow? And is that the one that Trevor has, or did you pick that?
No, I didn't pick that. Although I would have.
Okay.
So anyway, that's it on GTA 5.
Oh boy, GTA 5.
You haven't picked it up yet, Bobby.
Have not.
You guys need to both play it, because what I'm hearing is the heist is where it's at. They're very difficult. You really actually need to plan the heist, and it's
like a Payday 2 sort of thing.
Yeah, but more so, because I think there's only, well, I guess there's two ways to go in Payday 2, right?
Yeah.
You can go loud or quiet. Yeah. And I think there's more to it. I believe, and this is all speculation, but I think there's different routes and different. And
so also, we got to get Killing Floor 2. So
yeah, it sucks.
And so GTA $100
this month.
Yeah. So, and I'm the one without either one of those. So I'm dropping the full 100.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
All right. So are we on to listener questions?
No. I got one more.
Are we missing something? Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I talked last week about Secret World. That made it to last week's episode, right?
Yes.
Okay. So, I will talk about new stuff this week, and I sort of promise that I won't talk about Secret World again, but I'm fucking hooked. I'm like deep in this shit, and it feels...
You played all day today, right?
It feels like this game was made specifically for me, because it's an MMO that you play by yourself, so it's basically it's an MMO in name only, meaning like, if you want to do the PvP, you can do it. If you want to do the five-man, you can do it. But other than that, go ahead and just play it by yourself and do everything yourself, which is exactly what I like for an MMO. Secondly, it's all about puzzles, which, like, this is what I'm about. I'm all about puzzles. Third, there's no tier system, classes. So Secret World has 500 and some abilities, and you can eventually get all of them. There's no limit. If you work hard enough, if you put enough points in, you can get all of them. And then the only restriction is you can only have 7 actives and 7 passives. So you can set them up however you want, which is a really cool idea. And you can play around like with all those abilities. Everybody's coming up with a new idea.
Have you done research on what the best things are?
I've spent hours looking at different builds and everything like that. But so, you know, your leveling up system is you getting ability points or skill points, or ability points or skill points. So ability points...
Choose by you or them?
No, you get them both simultaneously.
Oh, gotcha.
So ability points goes into these different abilities, 500 and whatever. But, like, so the early ones that are, like, one or two ability points. But the later ones are 50 points. Mm. And that's to get all the way down the tree. Mm. So to get all the way down there, you're spending hundreds of ability points.
You're either focusing or you're spreading out.
But, yeah, but you can hold two weapons simultaneously. So right now I'm doing blood and fist. So I have fist, I have fist weapons and blood magic, right? So I'm doing points in both of those, but I also need to get points in blade because I need a passive from blade, or I'm getting points in assault rifle because I need something from assault rifle. So these like elite. So let me back up a step. I was going into blood and having a terrible time. I wasn't killing anybody. It was a struggle. Things were hard. And then I finally figured out they're called decks in Secret World.
Well, you can't get any blood without fisting.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Unless, well, I mean, we talked about Vic's Vapor Rub. So, anyways. So, I'm doing blood magic. I'm having a terrible time. So I go in there. I'm like, well, fuck. They have these already pre-built kind of how you suggestions. They have these pre-built suggestions. So, for example, a cage fighter is blood and fist. And so it's a starter group.
I thought you were pistols.
I started pistols, but I dropped that.
Okay.
Like, you keep just building up. So okay. I have pistols, and I have blades, and now I have fists, and now I have bloods. Anyways, so I did the starter deck over here and equipped it. And my fucking DPS went through the fucking roof. And I'm actually killing things. And I'm having a great time. So, week two in Secret World.
It's better than week one.
I'm even having a better time. And I feel like it was already... I was already having a great time with this game.
Man, we saw how many people are on Steam playing this. Yeah. I really hope that you're able to pull off, like, the Battle of New York, which takes, like, 40 people and stuff. Yeah. Or that they've modified their servers so that it takes less people. Because it looked really cool. I saw a video of it, and it looked like really intense and very involved.
And so. That's the thing. Like, if you want to do raids, if you want to do things that are MMO related, you can, assuming you have the people.
Right.
But it's there. But then you can also do the single player,
right,
as much as you want. So one of the things that happened this week is I tried a five man. So mm-hmm. I hadn't tried a five man before. It was amazing. There's events that go on. I'm doing the healing, and the instances are cool. They have effects that go on and change things. It was not. It didn't feel like, oh, this is a starter five man. This felt like
a very
cool.
Involved thing.
Yeah, like a story going on. So it like really like sucked me in, and it was really cool. And we breezed through everything except the final boss, and the final boss took us a couple attempts.
It's really a shame that we didn't pick this up 2 years ago when my buddy was screaming about it.
Yeah. So like I said, the decks system. So now I'm working on an elite level deck that I'm trying to get, or a higher level deck, but you got to get a bunch of more ability points to go into it. The other thing that is really cool in this game that I don't think I explained earlier is there's very few quests that are like go and kill five guys or go and pick up six things. Every quest is they have what they call tiers. So when you pick up a quest, maybe it's five tiers. And so it's five different basically mini quests that go all on just to do this.
Which reduces the running back to the quest giver.
Yeah, and at the end of quest, all you do is click the talk to your cell phone.
Right.
You never have to go back to your quest giver.
No cell phones in WoW.
Yeah. But what is like? So some of the quests are like stealth missions. So you go into stealth missions, and maybe you go into like this instance area that is just for you, and you have to figure out how to get in there. Or you have to, for an example, you have to pick up certain items and put them together in a certain way. So the quests are really interesting. Mm-hmm. And there's a...
Which is saying a lot, because so many quests on so many MMOs are just like, go help me kill my chickens or whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And bring me eight eggs.
One example on this game is they have a built-in browser So because they want you to go to the internet, and they make you go to the internet for something.
It's so interesting.
And they have like they're not made up websites. They're actual websites on the internet, but they're made up for the game. So they have a company called Arachi. So you can go to the Arachi website mm-hmm. and start looking up products and different things on the Arachi website that will actually solve quests in the game. So don't think of Secret World as an MMO. Think of it as a single-player RPG, quest-based...
Modern times. Operative.
No longer subscription-based. So you buy it once and it's yours.
For $20, you think the content that they're delivering
is... Oh, yeah. I've had so much fun on this game. I probably have spent 20, 25 hours on this game so far.
Beats our dollar an hour ratio.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really want Bobby to play it because I really want Bobby. And Bobby owns the game. So mm-hmm. I got to just convince him to fucking pick it up and play. And okay. So this is going to be the last time I talk about Secret World because I could talk about it more, but
he's still going to talk about it next week.
No, I'm not.
I'm going to fall asleep.
That's it for me. Secret World, we're done.
Cool. Listener questions. All right, Bob, you got anything else?
Nope.
All right. What's the time that you've got an epic run? Actually, the
Wait,
way
who
I
asked
think
this by this?
It was David is winning, but I think the way okay. he phrased it was go fucking apeshit or something like that on a game
okay.
that, you know, and had a crazy ass run. So, Bob, I'm most curious about yours.
My epic run, well.
He's got the smirk again.
Yeah.
He's had so many, he's trying to pick.
Happens all the time.
Yeah.
No.
No, what you guys call epic, I call arbitrary.
Yeah, this is just my standard playing experience.
Yes, and with that in mind, I'll tell you about a time I thought I had an epic run, but turned out to not be the case.
Okay.
This was probably 11 years ago. I was playing the original Team Fortress, and I was playing Sniper. And I never play Sniper in anything, except for that one time in Warface. And I'm just getting the headshots left and right. Boom, boom, heads are popping. I'm thinking, damn, I'm pretty good. And hit tab to take a screenshot.
All
and
bots.
All bots, yeah.
It's happened to me, too.
Yeah.
It's happened to me.
And that's probably happened to me more than once, but that particular time I was like, oh.
I'll be talking to my team, and I'm like, why is nobody talking back? I'm giving valuable information. Yeah. I would like some back, and then I look, it's all bots. That happens more on Tila, too.
Can you picture when we get to the point where the bots are responding on headset and like, we are getting closer to that point.
Who wants to talk to bots,
though? But we're getting closer to the point where...
How big are the tits?
Yeah.
Well, you know, in Heroes of the Storm, you can, if someone leaves the game, they don't just sit in the well like in Smite. They actually continue playing, and you can double ping on a character or on a place in the map, and the bot will go there. So you can direct them. You can actually control them to a certain extent.
It's better than nothing, right?
In Heroes of the Storm, because you can, it's kind of set up like Warcraft, where you can control multiple.
Yeah.
So in Heroes of the Storm, if a guy leaves, that guy just becomes a minion. And you can literally play...
Switch over to him.
You can, if you're good enough, you can play yourself and him at the same time.
Are you alerted if a player leaves on the opposite team? Do you guys know?
Yeah.
It'll tell you someone's... But people leave... Anytime you alt-tab in that game, it shows that you've left the game. So it's a little confusing, but you can always hit tab, and you can tell people have a mute button next to them. And if they're missing the mute button, that means it's a bot. So it's easy to tell who's a bot and who isn't.
So first of all, an unepic run was exactly what Bobby was talking about, the playing Warface. And you can look up that video of Emilio too drunk to play, almost like I was too drunk to podcast last week. It's kind of like that, but worse. You can find that on our YouTube channel. But as far as epic runs, on TF2, I had a legit no-bot run with the engineer where, you know, you're playing on one of these servers that override the how many players on each team or whatever, which is, I think the standard is
like
8 on 8 or something.
Really?
10? Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, this is a 16 on 16 server or whatever it is. And I was an engineer, and I had my gun on the truck. If you play TF2, you know where that part is on the payload map. And man, they tried over and over, but they could not take it down. And sometimes it went down, but I rebuilt it. Anyway, 84 points, 85 points, something like that. And the good part is I got that score. Second part is I can never even come close to that ever again. Like 20 is a good run or 30
what's,
is a good
what's
run.
What's sad is you didn't do your targeting reticle once that whole run.
Yeah,
you had just 85 points sitting there using your wrench, hitting that fucking sentry
gun. Not to say that there was no skill involved.
Though. Well, I'm just
engineer
saying.
Engineer is the class you want to play if you have the worst ping because it does all the aiming for you. Yes, yeah. But there are decisions you have to make. It's all about micromanaging. Anyway, love it. And that's my favorite class, too. I didn't just luck out. I play it more than anything else.
Yeah. And you do well with it. My epic run, I brought this up months ago, but in Smite, I had a pentakill one time. I've had one pentakill in my year plus playing Smite, and it was in Assault with Thanatos. And I didn't even realize I had done it at the time.
He's like, oh, he said that because he calls it out as you're going, right? So it goes triple kill, quadra kill. He goes, oh, wow, somebody's doing well.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it shouted out the pentakill.
And I keep track right after I hear three. I'm keeping track. I'm on because I'm hunting these things. I have three, two or three. I'm pretty sure I have three. But it was so funny because once three happens, I'm on the lookout. I'm trying to help that person get it, yeah. Or I'm trying to secure it myself. I'll start going, oh, I get excited. So I was
because
like,
you've had pentakills before.
I just said I had three. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So Chad was like,
because I'm terrible at the game.
Somebody's
first of
doing
all.
Well. Yeah. And then I was like, Chad, this is it. This is it. Go for it. Tower dive. Tower dive. Get under that tower. And you're like, oh, okay. And you threw that sickle or whatever. And that's not a good.
It's
a hard
skill
thing.
Shot. It's yeah. a skill shot.
It's a thin skill. It's very yeah. hard to land. And you landed and got the kill and it was pentakill. And man, it was that whole like red carpet experience coming back from the tower.
Well, because like, I died right after that. And then I was like, oh, somebody got a pentakill. Oh, shit, that was me.
Ted's so bad, guys.
Yeah, it's...
We were playing last night, and he's just complaining about everything. I'm surprised that he still plays the game. Just like with all the complaints.
Game.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Hey, but have we ever mentioned Smite on this podcast? Yeah. Welcome back to the Smitecast.
Yeah. Okay, so what else we got?
I think that's it for listener questions, so we're on to news. We'll see how much of this we can squeeze in the time we have left.
Oh, yeah.
Brought that up. Okay. So, Windows 10 at the end of July.
Oh, by the way, I just installed Windows 8 on mine, so I'm going to try it out, see what's going on. It's probably going to be a piece of shit, but...
What'd that cost you?
It was like $200, I think.
Space bucks?
Yeah, space bucks. Cool. Dosh dollars. What is it? Dosh
just
bucks?
Just Dosh.
Dosh. It was $200.
Yeah. I mean, we don't want to go off on a whole rant here again, but I think everyone's going to love Windows 10 just because they heard someone else loved Windows 10. And the internet is so dramatic. I don't know if I'm just getting old, but I'm just like, God, everybody needs to relax.
Yeah, people went crazy on the new Joker, the new picture of the Joker from...
I think...
Have you seen
the internet just enables you to know that other people are, that everybody's going crazy. Like, nobody's actually changed their opinions. Now you just get to know that 277,000 people also think the Joker is stupid or whatever it is. Like,
I disagree. I think most people are sheep, and then you have your alphas, and most people follow alphas, and a lot of trolls are alphas.
Men in Black has a great quote, and I know it's Men in Black, but he said... But the Tommy Lee Jones character in Men in Black basically says, people are smart, or a person is smart, people are idiots.
Yeah.
And that's basically what... It's true. And you can see it going on the internet.
A lion leading an army of donkeys can destroy an army of lions led by a donkey.
Okay.
Yep. Genghis Khan, everybody. Genghis, or cool. However you want to say it. So, Steam allows devs to ban accounts through their own game now. So, say you're cheating on, I don't know, Binding of Isaac, let's just say. It's not going to be that, but a multiplayer game.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
And you're cheating on there. The devs themselves can ban you, and that's going to ban you through Steam. So, that they're allowing them to ban you because one of the biggest problems Steam's dealing with is customer service. Only because the mountain of people they have to deal with every day, right? So this is kind of allocating more of the complaints towards the game itself so much as Steam as a whole. So ultimately, I think it's a good thing.
I wonder if this has to do with... I didn't bring it up with Killing Floor 2, but people kind of reacted, as the internet often does, to Killing Floor 2's EULA. It said that if you're being, you know, racist or sexist or cheating or entirely offensive... this is Tripwire Interactive for Killing Floor 2.
Right.
If you're being any of those things, and they reserve the right to take away the game from you, ban you, basically, which a lot of people got up in arms about, and then a lot of people were like, good, you know, but I think it's a moot point because Killing Floor 2 is not the kind of game that brings out the worst in people. I played 20 hours of it, and I can tell you right now, it's not a MOBA. It's not the one where every single game, somebody's at somebody's throat, talking shit, doing, you know, saying shit they shouldn't be. So I don't think they're going to have much of a problem, and I don't know how much they're going to monitor that anyway. So if you're really offended by that you can't say racist things in Killing Floor 2, don't worry. You could probably still get away with it, I guess.
It's funny because 6, I think, is the magic number where you could hide your... you not being as good as the
other
players.
It's a crowd. But you don't always have that. But at the same time, I don't know. It just doesn't have that feel to it where you can... play the blame game and, you know, say like, you know, you aren't doing your part or we lost because of you. It just, the game does not have that vibe to it at all. So I don't see this being a huge problem, but I'm glad they did this. I mean, I'm sure Valve is overwhelmed with complaints and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't think have you guys ever like reported someone or done anything like that?
Sure. Really? On Steam, on Smite all the time.
Well, on Smite, you block people constantly. I know.
Not block. I block and report them.
But you do that so you don't play with them again because
I block because I don't want to play them again, and I report them because I wish they would leave the internet and never come back.
Okay, like, I think you might be overreacting.
I want them to never again be able to get on the internet.
You met Chad, he's aka the internet.
One time I reported something on Steam, and like 2 months later, I got an email from Steam saying like, hey, we checked that out and we banned that. So, you know, there you go. I was like, oh fuck, I forgot all about that.
Too bad for two months of tears that it caused.
Meanwhile. Well, it wasn't from a game either. Someone had posted, and I really don't care what, there's so many asses and tits on Steam. I really don't care about anything really offensive, but someone had this picture. It was a GIF animated of like a pig getting its head cut off with a chainsaw and just blood everywhere. And it was really graphic. And I was like, all right, some little kid's going to see that. And that's pretty fucked up.
Oh, man. Like a real pig.
Yeah, like a real pig. Oh, okay. This is actual, like, you know how they make GIFs out of video? That's what this is like. So I was just like, all right, yeah, I should probably just take 5 seconds and click the report button on that one. And then, 2 months later, they were like, yep, took care of it. And I was like, oh, okay. I didn't think anything
would happen. Lives ruined in the meantime.
Fucking kids in therapy and shit.
Yeah. Pigs.
Yeah. Oh, there was one point on Secret World that I wanted to bring up.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
No,
man.
It's not related to Secret World, but this is the catalyst.
There's a pig and a chainsaw, and it's crazy.
There's a catalyst here. So I have the Naga Razor is my mouse, right? And on the side of it, it's a MOBA mouse specifically. And on the side of it, it's got 6 buttons, 1 through 6, right?
It's the Naga Hex, right?
No, this one is the Naga Razor.
Well, Razer is the brand. Naga is the one with 12 buttons. That's the one I had. The Naga Hex has 6 buttons.
Yes. I'll just believe Bobby.
And by the way, you didn't never use any of these buttons, ever.
Correct.
And they're a detriment to you.
Well, I can't hold my mouse as well because it's got all these buttons there. Anyways, Secret World, every ability that has a casting time, doesn't, you can move while you're doing it, right?
Okay, yeah.
Movement is crucial in this game. And I'm trying to use 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 up on my keyboard and having a terrible time. And I thought to myself, ding, maybe I should try these.
Some engineers have thought about this already.
Convenient. Anyways, this game is making me a better just
gamer.
Yeah. Because now my inherent thought is to use 1 through 6 on so now I can actually move myself around and use it. All my years of Smite and MOBAs, I couldn't do it, and now Secret Worlds is doing it.
We sound like the worst gamers of all time. You make us sound so dumb, dude. Like,
we all have different levels. You're the medium. I will acknowledge to be the worst.
You hear that, dude? You're the medium.
You're the middle. Bobby is the high. You're the medium, and I'm the low. And we can all acknowledge that.
And then most of our listeners can relate to one of us.
Right? Yeah, usually me, because most of our listeners probably
can't play games.
Yeah,
no, probably. I doubt it. Go ahead and keep thinking that.
Though. Yeah.
Okay, so what's this about PC Gamer hosting an event at E3?
Yeah, so they've complained over and over and over that, Sony has their giant booth, Microsoft has their giant booth, and that PC never has a really big, unless Steam comes out with a huge announcement and they steal the show for 6 hours, but that's about it. It's 6 hours, right? So PC Gamer says, fuck it, let's do it ourselves. So they're announcing, and it's being hosted at E3, the PC Gamer show. They're not claiming ownership of it, even though they do. It's not called PC Gamer Show. It's like the PC Gaming Extravaganza or whatever it's called, and powered by PC Gamer, right? So they're just celebrating PC games at
E3. Treating it like a console. They're treating it like
needed
a
to happen
separate system. Yeah.
Years ago.
Okay.
And nobody did it, and they're just saying, fuck it. So kudos to them. Can't wait to see. Finally, we're going to have our press release. We're going to have our press conference. And as opposed to these are the big giant gorillas and we're side notes on the side. Maybe we're going to be maybe a gorilla just as big or a little bit smaller, but at least we're sharing the floor space.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. If you're a PC gamer, then chances are you do feel underrepresented.
I want to say this is probably the biggest thing to happen in PC gaming this year so far. For sure.
By the way, I will be at E3 this year. So, sweet. I will be reporting a few things, maybe taking a couple pictures. So E3, you might get news a week later than everybody else, but it will be fun.
And genuine.
And yeah.
We're giving you the real news.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
yeah. Okay. Star Citizen, $12 a month.
Yeah, before the game comes out. They're the first company to ever do this. As if the $1 billion they haven't made, or whatever the fuck it is.
So they're already selling subscriptions to a game that doesn't even exist.
Right. You could pay $12 a month to unlock like these visual upgrades and stuff. But basically, it's called a development subscription. And the game itself, I don't believe, is going to have a subscription. Or maybe it does. But, I mean, this is crazy. A subscription before the game comes out. Sure. I mean, they are really milking the people.
It's kind of an early access without the access.
Yeah. Wow. Great way to put it. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
But fuck them. This is where I'm drawing the line. All that other bullshit, I'm like, okay, this, and this. This is like ridiculous. But I haven't read any negative press on it. Basically, you're just paying for bells and whistles on your spaceship.
So if they want, they're getting the bleeding edge money if people are willing to pay it, and if not.
But the whole game is bleeding edge. You know, it was a crowdfunded game.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. I'm done with it.
Don't lie. You're super excited. I do have another kind of not news or whatever. The Star Wars just recently came out with stuff on Steam. They
on sale, right?
Yeah, as well. They've got a sale. But Jedi Knight 2, Dark, whatever. What is it called?
Forces 2, Jedi Knight.
Yeah. So.
But you couldn't recommend that now, right, Bob? You wouldn't recommend that to a 19-year-old.
No, I would recommend either Jedi Academy or actually Jedi Outcast. Dark Forces 2 is still a little rough. But if you are going to get that game, then I would recommend buying it on GOG.com because they have a version that is much more compatible with modern operating systems. And I actually bought the game again, like I mentioned earlier in the podcast. I bought the game again on GOG for $3 just because I wanted that better experience.
Steam has all sorts of packs right now going on with.
Yeah, in honor of May 4th, the official Star Wars Day now. They're having a huge Star Wars sale, and they released X-Wing, TIE Fighter, yeah. X-Wing vs. TIE Fighter.
So I bought that, by the way. So that's the kind of news. But I haven't played any of it because I don't have a joystick yet. I bought it and then realized I don't have a joystick to play it.
Just buy one of those receivers and use mine. Just buy the receiver.
Do you have a joystick?
Well, I have my controllers. That's what I mean.
No. Oh, I want a joystick. It's not the same.
Did you play it originally on a joystick?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Interesting.
I read some of the reviews on that, too, and some people were saying the same thing, that the GOG version has the original, like, collector's edition from 95, where you get, like, the actual game, but the Steam version is not quite the same. I don't know if most people would notice the difference, but it's something to consider. They go for the exact same price on GOG.
Which you can activate on Steam, so it doesn't matter, right?
No.
Oh.
No, that's its own separate thing. GOG.com, goodoldgames.com, they're much better for these old titles, I've found. If you're looking for anything kind of retro, then they're a great source.
Extremely quickly, there's some PC gaming stats. Well, gaming stats came out, worldwide gaming stats. I don't know exactly who it was. They seem pretty reputable. Turns out that the way they broke it out was interesting, is screens, where the games, what kind of screens games are being played on, right? And that determines whatever operating system or whatever you choose to do. So TVs are 27%. So that means consoles, right? Computer screens are 37%. So that's 10% higher. So more people are gaming on computer screens, considerably more worldwide than, according to these guys. And this is Gama Sutra, and they probably pulled it from somewhere else.
Gama Sutra.
Oh, yeah. That makes more sense.
Yeah. The Gama Sutra is a site for developers and game programmers, and the business goes into Gama Sutra. So if you're like in the business, a lot of times you
go. The only reason I wanted to bring this up is because I always thought the consoles had a higher... Yeah, but now I think things like LOL and Dota are really turning
into
tide.
Plus, like, Facebook games and stuff, probably.
Yeah.
But they did mention personal screens is also one of the categories listed.
Which is phones, yeah, which 23%, which, you know, that's something.
Yeah, and now with
Big Picture Mode.
Big Picture Mode and some of these other ones. The PC market is coming to TVs also. So that
I wonder where
things.
I would fall. I guess I'm on the TV, right? But I play PC games. So, yeah. But it's a... Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know how they keep track of all that stuff. And finally, we said we're going to have another contest. So let's just... we already talked about it. Just leave a review. Don't just go... Because we have a lot more ratings than we have reviews. Go ahead and give us the 5 stars because we know we deserve it. But...
Not for this episode.
One for Bobby, one for Chad, and 3 for me. and then you have to write a review. It doesn't matter what you say, and it really doesn't matter what review you give us. As long as we're being talked about, that's what gets us on that front page, and front page is what gets us more listens. Sorry that we sound like a broken record, but this is the way we're doing it.
Yeah, we're trying to promote ourselves.
Yep.
Fun, fun, fun. All right. Anything else?
Hit us with the spiel, Bobster.
Check us out on dlgaming.net. That's our website. You can get to everything from there, our YouTube channel, Twitter feed, our Steam group, which is very active. If you have any questions or comments for us, and you can reach us directly on there. Feel free to friend us on Steam as well. Play some Killing Floor 2.
Or Secret World.
Our Secret World.
I'm on the first server, whatever that one is. Starts with a D, I think.
Starts with a D.
It's going to go from 624 to 625 because of one player.
Yep.
Selling copies. That's what DL Gaming does.
So any plans for the week ahead for you guys? I'm just going to be playing more Killing Floor 2. And I've had my eye on this game that just came out called Guns, Gore, and Cannoli. It's a side-scrolling mobster game, beat-em-up style. Been watching a lot of Godfather movies, so going through a mob
when
phase.
When does Witcher 3 come out? Because I have that already purchased and sitting.
And now you have the graphics.
And now I have the graphics, so I'm wet with anticipation for Witcher 3 to come out. When is that?
I don't know. It was originally March, but that was 2 months ago, a month ago. But I don't know.
I think I think it's coming out soon.
And
May 19th. All right,
okay.
a couple weeks. 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
And before that happens, Bob, what is that 4K G-Sync screen that you keep talking about, and how much is it?
It's not out yet. The Acer Predator, I think the model number is like XB270HU. I'm not sure on that, though.
It's totally off the top of his head.
When I do shit like that, I'm totally making shit up just to sound ridiculous. He just sounds ridiculous, but he's right.
Well, maybe Bobby's autistic and we just didn't realize that.
That's true.
Well, maybe I just don't drink as much as you guys. That's it, too.
Everything sounds amazing to us.
He has all his brain cells left. Yeah.
Anyway, so how much is that thing when it comes out?
When it comes out, I think they're estimating it's going to be between $700, $800, something like that.
Good Lord.
That's too much, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not 4K. It's 2560 by 1440.
It's not even 4K?
No, it's halfway between 4K and 1080p, around there. But it's G-Sync, and that's actually a pretty reasonable price for a 27-inch at that price. You could get the 1080p. The 1080p version of that is already out. You can get that for under $500. It's like $400-something.
I think that's probably what you should go with.
I thought you were telling me to get a 4K monitor.
Okay. No, I didn't. No. Just get a high-def one. You're running... Whatever that is like a standard old... That's why I got rid of it.
It's 1080p.
No. Okay, Bob.
He's running at a higher resolution than you are, even though your screen is bigger.
Right. But that screen was not able to display 1080 because... It's like an older screen.
So his screen?
Yeah.
No, he can do 1080.
Oh.
Yeah. Yours is not doing 1080. You're running at 1680 by 1050, I think.
That's because he's got the TV.
Yeah, television.
TV standard.
Huh. Because I did it specifically.
Well, most TVs can run at that resolution, but yours, I'm not sure why. On the PC input, the VGA cable, for some reason, it just will not go past that resolution.
Okay, I'll shut up right now.
Okay.
Well, the colors aren't vibrant.
What am I playing next week? Hopefully, I might run to Fry's and get a joystick and actually try some of this X-Wing out. Yeah, I have a little bit extra cash, so I might hit up the listener feedback on what they want to play and try to find something there, which you guys might want to try every once in a while. So that's what's going on.
What we have you for. You have one job, dude. And trying to even pass that.
I brought all the games this week. Just throwing this out there.
It's true.
All right. Emil, what are you playing this week?
Probably GTA. Honestly.
But you're almost done.
I don't know. Well, yeah, probably past halfway point, but I wouldn't say
halfway point? I thought you were doing
27 hours? I'm nowhere near 27 hours, and that's what time to play is. Anyway, let's wrap this one up.
Yeah, okay.
My favorite part is the titties.